Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Times.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And tonight, one of our bright stars has dimmed. That song was by Nancy Wilson, the Christmas song. So I play that in respect for her, and my prayers go out to her family. And also, I'd like to say thank you to all my listeners, starting with the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, the UK, Canada, Nigeria and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Japan, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Indonesia, Portugal, St. Vincent, and the Grenadine Islands. I feel like I'm doing the pageant. I'm giving out different countries who's vying for a spot to be Miss Universe, but I thank my listeners, because without them, where would we be? And I also want to thank my lovely guest, Lila, who's spending the time tonight to talk with us about her military career and her award-winning books. But before I do that, I just got to say hello to my co-hosts, Chris and Mark. But today, Mark is going to be getting some help from his friend Dave because he don't feel all that well. So hi, Dave. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Thank you for playing Nancy. Thank you for playing Nancy Wilson. Cameroon, Africa. Thanks you.
You're so welcome, darling. Welcome. And so, without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest. My guest is Lila Holly, and she spent her life in the military, and we want to find out more about things that she's went through because listen to the media and. I want to get her take also on the military being used to barricade and protect the border and putting up that barbed wire. You know, I think our president has lost his everlasting mind. So I'm going to start first by introducing Lila. How you doing, darling?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me this evening.
Hi, Lila.
Yes,
hi, Lila.
Hi. I'm excited to be here.
We love you, darling.
We're going to start with Dave. Dave, do you have a question for our guests?
Yes, I do. Hello, Lila.
Hi.
I understand you. How are you doing this evening? So you retired from the military.
Yes, I did. I did a total of 22 years in the U.S. Army. And after my 22 years of active duty service, and then after those years, I retired. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Wow.
So can you tell us just a little bit about your experiences in the military in terms of, you know, as far as being a woman is concerned? How did you feel, and what did you experience as a woman?
Yeah, that's... You know, that's a great question because a lot of times people they just don't know what we go through in the military. And so as a woman, I'm an African-American woman first off, and I joined enlisted ranks. So that means I worked my way up to a sergeant. I started out as a private, worked my way up to a sergeant, staff sergeant. Then I transferred over to what is called a warrant officer, which is a technical officer, which is like a specialized officer, where you have warrant officers and then you have your regular commissioned officers, which is like your captains and your colonels and things like that. I was specialized in my field, which was military intelligence. And so for me, I tell you, a lot of women will tell you that we feel like we have to work a lot harder than our male counterparts. And maybe it's not intentional that, you know, we're looked at as the weaker sex or whatever, you know. We're just as strong, just as great, just as good of leaders as our male counterparts. But I think internally as a woman, because it's such a male-dominated career field, you do feel like you have to work harder. You do feel like you have to do more to be considered on the same playing field as your male counterparts, if that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense to me. It really do.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
You know, what can you say? It's been that way for a long time. So I'm going to see if that satisfies Dave enough. Is that okay, Dave,
no.
What you heard?
Yeah, I have another question. Were you motivated by the idea of challenging as a woman, determined to assert yourself and prove your worth? Was that the reason for enlisting?
Well, my story, that's a good question. I was a teenage mother. I'm just going to tell you, I was a teenage mother. I had a child very young. And I really thought because of that life experience that my military, the option of joining the military was literally off the table for me at that point once I had my son. But my family supported me. I talked with an Army recruiter, and he just kind of walked me through the procedure to be able to join and have my family look after my son for me. And so I did. I took junior ROTC in high school, and you know, during those years in high school, I was kind of shy and timid. But then when I got into the junior ROTC course, my instructors, who were actually, you know, a year or two ahead of me, students that were a year or two ahead of me, they really pushed me. And they really, I guess they saw something special in me, like a leader inside of me. And they pushed me and they challenged me. And it did motivate me. It motivated me because it woke up the leader that was inside of me. I'm the oldest of six kids, so I think she resided. I just didn't let her roar, you know what I mean? But once I got into junior ROTC and they kind of pushed me out there, you know, the leader within started coming out. And I was like, well, this military thing could really be something that I could do. And so when you know, my family was like, yeah, we'll support you if you want to join. And the option was back on the table through the Army. I jumped at it and I never looked back. And I'm glad I did, because you're right. I did challenge myself. I did push myself. And my competition was myself. I wasn't really competing with my peers. I was motivated first because I was a single mother, to take care of my family, and then my own internal drive and my own internal competition with myself to be the best that I could be, a version of myself. That makes sense to what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does, you know, because once you're into something that you're not familiar with and you don't want to fail, especially when you got someone watching your child, you know, you just go for it. You know, it forces you to be part of a group, but you learn, you know. So before I ask my question, I'm going to let Chris ask this question.
All right. All right, Lila. My name is Chris Michael Ward. My question, I know a lot of people would want to know this answer, and I don't want to get you in trouble or offend you, but a lot of this has happened. But in the military, there has been a lot of, like, mind control, MK Ultra, stuff like that. Did you experience that, or did you participate in any of that?
Did you say mind control?
Yeah, mind control.
Oh.
No.
No. All right.
No, I'm from New York, so.
All right.
I think that. Yeah, if you know any New Yorkers, nah, that's not gonna happen.
But, you know,
nothing. I didn't experience anything like that.
Yeah, but one thing is known that the military do. They will be hard on you. They will break you down and get rid of your assumptions about what you think you are and what you want to do, because they want to break you down to mold you in their direction. So that is why it's hard. You know, a lot of people will take it personal, but it's not personal. But with the Me Too movement going on right now, honestly, you know, you've done 20-some plus years, and I commend you and I thank you for serving our country. Have you been a witness or a victim of anything that's inappropriate, like sexual harassment?
Well, I would tell you that's personally not my story. Personally, I've not been assaulted or harassed to the point where I had to make a complaint against someone, or to the point where I couldn't handle it myself. But like I said, I'm from New York. I got a big mouth, and I've always been able to. I do.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I jokingly say that, but you know, it takes more than that. I always tell people that the military is a reflection of our society. There's creeps in society. There are creeps in the military. Absolutely does happen. You know, women are being harassed. Women are being assaulted, and women are being manipulated to do things because they feel like, you know, people are abusing their power. That happens, I think, in any career field. You know, you hear horror stories of that happening in any career field, and it definitely does happen in the military. So with the platform I'm building with Camouflage Sisters, we are telling our stories in a way that empowers the women who are telling their stories. It also helps them heal from any pains that they've experienced from their military careers. And it also helps readers, a lot of who are other women who have served or are serving, find the strength to seek their own healing if that is indeed their story, if they have any types of pain or suffer from their military careers. Our objective is to get the conversation started so that the system can be looked at to be scrutinized so that it better protects women. That is our main objective. We want women to be protected. Women are great leaders, and all we want is the opportunity to serve and lead. That is it. We don't want to change the world. We want to be a part of the team. We don't want to, you know, we just want to be a part of the team and have the opportunity to serve and lead just like our counterparts in the military.
And I agree with you. Women are great leaders. You know, unfortunately, Trump's wife is not pushing him in the right direction because she should teach her husband. But anyway, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello?
Hey, it's Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there this week.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been counting, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is it? Why is he in my house?
Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother! This is my
written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Was an old tune that took you back with the Ohio Players. Now, my co-host Chris might be too young to have known about the Ohio Players, but I'm sure that the rest of us are familiar with that because that was the bell bottoms, you know, and the platform shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't walk on anything higher than 1 inch.
Oh,
man. You remember that tune, Dave?
Everybody remembers those days. I kept falling off those platform shoes. Right.
Me too. I guess my ankle was too weak.
I ain't no John Travolta, okay?
Okay. Pointing your finger up in the air while you dance. But anyway, Dave, Mark, you want to get to your question, and then I'll let Chris come back with his.
Oh, yeah. Chris, yeah. Oh, Chris.
Chris.
No, I'm talking about Dave. He go first and then Chris.
Okay.
Oh,
thank you. Layla.
Layla.
22 years ago. It sounds like 22.
Layla.
I'm sorry, Layla.
That's okay.
Pardon me. I'm from the South, so you got to excuse me. Bear with me. Layla, 22 years ago when you enlisted in the military, it sounds as if you saw a career opportunity and that you have the opportunity to see the world and to make a life for yourself. But during your experience, during the course of those 22 years, how did what you saw and the knowledge that you gained as military personnel, how did it impact you I have to say, intellectually and politically?
That's a good question. Well, you're right. When I joined, I had every intention of doing 20 years. And I don't know where that came from. I just felt like I was, you know, being a young mother and having a child to take care of and, you know, my family depending on me and things like that. Once I got in and realized this is kind of an easy career. They tell you exactly what to do, and they train you on everything you have to do. So, you know, just do what you're supposed to do, and you'll be fine. And that's what I did, and it really paid off for me. I was able to, in the course of my 22 years, achieve a high rank and, like you said, travel and see the world. And I had some great jobs, and I worked for some amazing leaders, and I had, you know, awesome opportunities myself as a leader and a soldier throughout my career. And because of that, traveling around the world and going to different countries, I realized the United States, we live in a great country. Our country is awesome, and I probably wouldn't want to live anywhere else just because of the opportunities that are afforded us, especially us as women. I didn't feel I travel to different places, and I saw different cultures and different lifestyles that women led, and I always was thankful and grateful that I was an American. I'll just say it like that, because as a even on my worst day as a young African American woman, I still would not have wanted to live anywhere else other than the United States. So for me, I was proud to represent the U.S. as a soldier traveling, and I took that very seriously throughout my career and the different opportunities I had to interact with allied forces and different agencies that I worked with throughout my career. Politically, I guess that's that answers the political question as well. I realize what a great country we live in, and to never take the opportunities afforded me as an American for granted, not only through my military career, but just the history that I know of our country, the history that I know of African American people. I knew that, you know, people around the world don't have the same opportunities and luxuries that we have in America. So for me as an American, especially as a service member, I don't ever want to take those opportunities that are afforded us, especially because of my 22 years of service. I never want to take that for granted.
Well, I understand. Chris, darling, you got your question?
Oh, yeah, I got my question. Well, Lila, or yeah, I think that's your name, Lila. I'm very forgetful. But anyway, it seems to me that and you were one of the ones in the military who, like, spoke up against people who were, you know, who were having a hard time. And my question is, did you or anybody that you worked with writing your books or anybody like that suffer from, like, any mental illness like PTSD or trauma from what you guys experienced, which, you know, is beyond your control, I know, because you're in the military and you have to do things. Did any of you experience anything like that?
Well, yes, we have. So I've authored, I'm the visionary behind Camouflage Sisters for the listeners. Camouflage Sisters is a book series. It's a movement, actually, for women veterans and military women. But it started with our books. And so we have four books published, four different books in the series so far, and two more projects working for 2019. And so in the books, there's different topics. The first book is Camouflage Sisters, Revealing Struggles of the Black Woman's Military Experience. The second book is Silent No More. And then books 3 and 4 are a series within the Camouflage Sisters brand, and that's Behind the Rank, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And so in those books, my co-authors absolutely talk about some of the challenges that they face. And Silent No More is a book that deals with surviving traumatic experiences. And so we do talk a little bit about, specifically in that book, we talk of surviving, of having, one of my co-authors talks about suffering with PTSD from a combat-related incident. And she tells that story in the book. And I talk about my battle with depression as I transition out of the military. And then one of my other co-authors also talks about depression from multiple losses in her life, to include her job as a working in a morgue throughout her military career, and just how, you know, that experience affected her and numbed her, you know, to loss, and then having experienced such significant losses in her life, how that impacted her, and how she struggled with depression and the mourning process. And so in Behind the Rings Volume 1 and 2, some of the ladies do talk about their experiences and how that has impacted them mentally as well. We talk about that openly and honestly, because there are so many, especially women, there are so many of us wearing multiple hats, you know, out here taking care of others, doing so much in our lives, that a lot of times taking care of ourselves is at the bottom of the priority list, you know, and until it's too late. And so we talk a lot about that, especially with the ladies who find out about us, who read our books, who connect with us. We have I started something just this year, and it's called our Sisterhood Chats, and we just had our December session last night. And so if you guys probably know, there is reportedly 22 veterans that take their lives each day, and that's due to, you know, mental health mental illnesses and different trauma and experiences from the military. And so our Sisterhood Chat is a chance for us to check on our sisterhood, for us to come together in a virtual platform and just have open, honest discussion about, you know, any challenges we're having, anything, struggles that we're facing. And to know, my main objective is to let the ladies know that you're not alone. Like, everybody's dealing with something. You know, everybody's dealing with something. And I never want a service member to think that they're the only one suffering, or they're the only one who's experienced something, or they're the only one struggling with anything, because they're not. They're never the only one. And so I feel like the more we talk about it, you know, the more accepting people will be to share and to seek help with any challenges that they face, with any type of mental illness or any type of trauma that they've experienced during their military career.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you meet your husband in the military?
I sure did.
That's wonderful. Well, with someone who has put in 22-plus years and being groomed to do the things the way the military wants you to do. Now, I have seen a lot of females come out of the military, and staggeringly, there has been a number of them who have been hardcore, ladylike. They have became lesbians, and I've known this personally and through friends, and my sister, who is straight, she's so hard and so abrasive because she was in charge of the area that she worked in, and she did 23 years. And do you find out that women find it hard to be ladylike and not be so masculine after they have put in a significant time in the military, such as yourself doing 22 years?
Try not to chuckle at your question.
Go ahead, laugh.
Because
I laugh, girl.
It is funny. It's funny to me. Because you got to look at it like this. Like I mentioned before, the military is such a male-dominated career field, and it's a lot of jobs are manual. It takes strength, both mental and physical strength, to make it through. I think when we put a label on what that looks like, femininity or being feminine or ladylike or whatever, I think I think that's where, you know, I think that's where military women, yeah, where military women feel disconnected from their civilian counterparts. Just because I'm a little bit more aggressive in my talk, I like to wear jeans and T-shirts because I'm comfortable in that. And, my experience has been a military career. That doesn't make me any less of a lady who ladylike or of a lady, if you will, than someone who hasn't served in the military. You know what I mean? that's why I chuckle because I tell you, when we clean up, when women clean up, you can clean up anything. You know what I mean? It depends on what you like. And so, yeah.
Yeah, because my sister, man, a lot of people, you know, she's single, and a lot of guys don't approach her because they think she's gay because she's so strong and matter-of-fact. And because she was in a situation of leadership, you know, she has this attitude like, you know, you're not going to talk down to me, and she's very combative, you know. But like you said, when she got somewhere to go, or event, function, funeral, whatever, she clean up, she shows her pretty legs and wear her heels. Mm-hmm. But other than that, man, she won't even wear a purse, man. She just hard. And guys thinking that, you know, she's unapproachable. But I think she needs a man. That one should calm the hell down.
That's funny. Well, I would tell you, if she's looking, the right one will come along. I tell you, me and my husband are getting ready to celebrate 19 years married and 20 plus years together. And wow. I attained a high rank in the military. I was a leader throughout my career, and I'm still a leader as an entrepreneur and the things that I do as an entrepreneur. And my husband loves it, but you know he allows me to be me. And he likes to see me happy. So he doesn't try to stifle me or silence my voice or anything like that. He doesn't have some twisted definition of a submissive wife or what that looks like. He still allows me to be myself, and he encourages me to be strong and be the leader that I'm called to be. And so if she, you know, like I said, if she's looking for a mate and, you know, the right one comes along and he sees something in her, you know, he'll approach her. That's what my husband did to me, and I appreciate that. And I do thank God for him. And I know it takes a special man to deal with somebody like me.
Yes,
I know that. I know that. I am thankful for him. But I
tell right
men,
back.
You know,
that's what I love. We got to take a small break, baby.
Okay.
Real. Unparalleled. Authorist Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. Remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave you.
bells will be ringing the glad, glad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone, I have no friends to wish me greetings once again. Choirs will be singing silent night, Christmas carol by candlelight. Please come on for Christmas. Please come on for Christmas. If not for Christmas, by New Year's night. Friends and relations, send salutations. Sure as the stars shine above, this is Christmas. Yes, Christmas, my dear. Time of year to be with the one you love. Then won't you tell me you'll never more roam? Christmas and New Year will find you home. There'll be no more sorrow, no grief and pain, 'cause I'll be happy, happy once again.
Wow, that was a lovely Christmas song that I haven't heard in a while, but I hope y'all enjoy it, by Charles Brown, Please Come Home for Christmas. And I want to get the mic over real quick to Dave, who's talking for Mark, because we might be running out of time soon. So, Dave, you got a question? Dave? Mark? Well, there must be a problem, so I'll just go to Chris. Chris, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, I hear you.
You can hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, Layla?
Lila.
Sorry. Yeah, that southern twist again. Lila.
Yes, sir.
So there are many people who believe that, you know, America's involvement in the world is imperialistic. They take the position that the United States actually deploys troops around the world and, for the sole purpose of establishing global dominance. How do you respond to that position?
Well, I normally don't talk politics with people because people are so passionate and have such differing views. Like I said, I've always done my best to represent the U.S. in the most respectable, honorable manner possible, especially when wearing the uniform. And I've always executed my orders given to me and accomplished my missions that I was tasked to do. So that's as a service member, that's what we do. You know, we don't debate politics. We don't, you know, that's not what we're here to do. We volunteer to serve. We volunteer to join the military. whatever our motivation is, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And so, in that regard, that's what I did. In my career field in the military, I try my best to understand the motivation behind policies, just for the purpose of better doing my job best that I can. Besides that, I executed. That's what I did.
Well, thank you for serving your country. Chris, go ahead and get your question out, baby.
All right. Lila, thanks for serving our country. My question is, it's nice that you have a husband who don't try to dominate you or anything like that, because I know a lot of men are like that in the military and out of the military. So what advice would you give women who have men like that, who do dominate them?
Kick their ass and get out.
What she said. Well, I think, everybody has different personalities when you get together. As long as it's not an abusive relationship, be it, physically abusive, mentally, emotionally, financially abusive. I think for me and my husband, I tell you, we didn't make it this far without having good communication. And that's any relationship. So if there's a situation, and as you age and grow older, you're gonna change. You're gonna change. Your body's gonna change. Your perspective on life is gonna change because of the things that you go through. And so we have to stay in communication with each other so that we understand how each other as individuals are evolving, and then together as a couple. You know what I mean? So anybody who's in a relationship like that, I say. And even at 19 plus years, 20 years together, we still believe in going to marriage retreats and, different getaways like that to learn skills to be better in our relationship. And so marriage is something that you definitely have to work at. It's not a fairy tale. It's not going to be roses and rainbows every day. It's something that you have to work at. And absolutely not. And I think, Communication is key. Communication is very, very critical to making a marriage last.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Well, real quick, I want to ask you a question. Tell us about your award-winning book that you got out there.
Yes, I'm so excited about these books. So, like I said earlier, it's four books in the series, and I've written five, actually. I have a solo book out, and that book was really my first book, Battle Buddy. It's a solo project that I wrote when I first transitioned from the military when I retired and struggling. I mentioned depression. I was dealing with anger issues. It was just a lot of emotions going on that I struggled with that I didn't know, why. I didn't know how to process them. I eventually went to the VA and got some help. And move through that patch. But in the process, I journaled and I ended up writing a book about that because I felt like, first I realized it's normal. It wasn't like I wasn't an anomaly. All veterans go through that. And so I got to thinking, where are the books about this, though? Like, why isn't anybody talking about this? And so that's why I wrote the first book. And that's why I started my speaking platform talking about that, because I wanted veterans to know, like, all those emotions you feeling and why you walking around with your face all twisted up and looking crazy and angry and stuff is because, these emotions, this is part of the transition process. There's an emotional
Well, Lila, my sister needed to get one of your books because she hasn't changed since she's been out. She is a pain in my tuchus.
it's definitely part of the process, and that's why I talk about it. That's why, I share my story because, a lot of veterans need to know. They need to know this is normal. It's part of the process. You can push through it. And you'll get through it. You'll be just fine. And because of that.
What about those people? And I'm going to talk about my sister. She don't think she has a problem. And that's the big problem. Everybody around her is sick of her because she's a loudmouth, her way or no way. She's, and she don't get it. And even though she might do nice stuff, for people? What good is it doing nice stuff when you got to listen to all that crap? You know, like they got to kiss her butt. You know, and she don't think she have a problem. And if, and every conversation got to be about the stinking military. We get it. You G.I. Jane, move the fuck on. But she don't get it.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. It's tough. When did she retire?
She retired, I don't know, maybe around 2005, but she put 23 years in.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, a lot of veterans, I go to the VA for my medical care and things like that, and, you know, I chat with the old vets, and I tell you, some of them, they spend their whole day up there. That's their life. Like, that's their social hour. They love sitting around telling old war stories and talking veteran talk, you know what I mean? And so she has to process whatever emotions she's still holding on to because of leaving the military. And she has to create a new life for herself outside of the
military. But see, because none of her friends, girlfriends ever been in the military, it's only her. So she can always talk with the guys. And I guess she think, because she can talk with all the men, that she's special or she's something. She's a special pain. I'm telling you, man, you know, and she try to blame everything on me because her friends like me because I got a sense of humor. And she's a pain in everybody's butt and she don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to buy your book and mail it to her, you know, overnight to her.
Yeah. I would definitely get her a copy of that. But I would tell you, the Camouflage Sisters was created just for that purpose because I needed women around me who understood me. And you're right,
okay.
She has to get around people who understand her. I jokingly tell people that I created this movement out of a selfish need, and that's kind of funny, but it's not. You know what I mean? I needed to be, even though my family was there for me when I retired, I actually moved back to New York. That's where I'm from, and lived around my family. But I was different after those 22 years in the military. So no matter what they tried to do or how they tried to help or love on me, I was still different. And the things that I was dealing with, I couldn't really. I was a little mean, but I moved past that. But even in that, I couldn't find the words, and they couldn't understand because they hadn't served, and so I didn't fault them for that, and they still try to love me regardless of that. But when I realized that, I said I have to get somewhere where I can get some help to move through this, and that's when I came back to Texas. I went to the VA. I got the help through the mental health services there. And then I connected with other veteran groups, other veteran women, and other women who served in the military because I needed to be around women who I can share what I was going through with, and they would absolutely understand. And so that's what your sister needs to find. She needs to volunteer with a group, or she needs to find, you know, whatever her interests are.
You say what you want to say. I think she needs that D, and she'll calm down.
She probably needs some of that too, but she definitely needs to connect with other veterans where she can, you know, get around and just have that veteran talk and you know, share some of the challenges that she's been dealing with, you know.
Exactly.
And for me, that was like a breath of fresh air, and it just lifted so much weight off of my shoulder to have these women around me and just say, you know what, today is not a good day for me, like. Why am I feeling like this? This is what I'm, you know, and they absolutely understood. They kind of shared their stories with me or what they were dealing with. And they told me to keep pushing because you'll make it through, you know. And it was that
bit
of encouragement that helped me.
You to tell us how to get a hold of you and the price of your books, because we are running out of time. The clock is ticking, and I want to make sure everybody knows how to get reach across your books.
Well, all the books are available on Amazon.com. If you search for my name, Lila Holly, LilaHolley, you can get them through there. And you can get them through my website as well, Camouflage Sisters. And Camouflage is spelled CamouflageD, and Sisters with an S, .org. That's CamouflageSisters.org. We're also on social media. We have Camouflage Sisters LLC as our Facebook page. We're on Instagram at Camouflage Sisters. And I'm also on Facebook as well as Lila Holly.
Our website has a lot of information so they can find out more about us and connect with us. Especially if there are women veterans out there, they can definitely connect with us through there.
Well, Lila, you got some other books coming out and they get published, you know, you can consider Unmasked Home. You know, tell your friends they got a story to tell. We'll tell it. I don't care what the story is because this is not a story radio show for children. This is not the Purple Dinosaur. So we keep it real here. So whatever you want to talk about, you can do it. But we want to say thank you. We love you for being here this evening. We're going to take it home for little Charlie Wilson. Bless.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here, but I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said if you give me one more chance, as life and music, I promise you I'm gonna shout you out and I'm gonna testify and we're gonna have a little church up in there. Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. White you fly by my side. Green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try. So thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try. So thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, y'all.